The book of Matthew, the book of Matthew chapter 21 this morning, the book of Matthew 21. April 12th is Resurrection Sunday. April 12th is Resurrection Sunday. It's a time of celebration. It's a time of remembering what Christ did for our sins, the resurrection. Without the resurrection, there'd be no purpose, no reason for our being, for our faith. But we believe in a risen Savior, and we rest upon Him. And we're grateful again that we can serve a risen Savior. We're looking at that Savior this morning. In the passage here in the book of Matthew chapter 21, we'll begin reading in verse 12. It says, "And Jesus went into the temple of God and cast out all them that sold and bought in the temple, and overthrew the tables of the money changers and the seats of them that sold doves, and said unto them, It is written, My house shall be called a house of prayer, but ye have made it a den of thieves. And the blind and the lame came to him in the temple, and he healed them. And when the chief priests and the scribes saw the wonderful things that he did, and the children crying in the temple, saying, Hosanna to the Son of God, or the Son of David, they were sore displeased. And said unto him, Hearest thou what these say? And Jesus said unto them, Yea, have ye never read, Out of the mouth of babes and sucklings, thou hast perfected praise. And he left them and went out of the city into Bethany, and he lodged there." It's interesting that the chief priest and the scribe saw the wonderful things. They saw the wonderful things, and they saw the children crying, Hosanna to the Son of David. And the Bible says that they were sore displeased. They weren't pleased with that. Yet the Lord says to them, Yea, have ye not never read, Out of the mouth of babes and sucklings, thou hast perfected praise. Praise was perfected in what these children were saying, and this was a praise again that really should have been going out from the priests and the scribes, but instead it was the children that were praising the Lord. But it displeased the religious crowd. So the religious crowd even today wants to deny the Word of God. They want to deny the Son of God. They want their religion without the Lord Jesus Christ. And all of that is just simply empty. It's empty religion. The religion of man is empty. It does nothing for you. It's only faith in Christ that changes the lives of men. We're looking this morning at a message entitled, A House or a Den. As we see the account, the Lord Jesus Christ has come to Jerusalem, the triumphal entry of Christ, and the people are adoring him. By the way, the same people that are crying Hosanna will later be crying what? Crucify him. They'll later be crying crucify him. But he comes into the temple, which is where we're going to look at. He comes into the temple and begins to clean it out. Clean it out. I wonder what would be left in our churches today if the Lord did some cleaning out. Big buildings, beautiful buildings, expensive buildings. But what would be left if the Lord came and cleaned them out? We're looking at a house or a den. Our main text will be verse 13, and he said unto them, it is written, my house shall be called the house of prayer, but ye have made it a den of thieves. Father, we thank you for your word. We thank you for your goodness to us. And we pray this morning that you would use your word in our hearts. Lord, pray that you'd use your word in our church. Just pray, Lord, this morning that you would, through your spirit, Lord, help us to see, Lord, ourselves for what we are and who we are. And Father, I pray that we would have the right heart again towards your house, towards your work. And Lord, we ask that you'd bless now this time. Bless your word. Guide and direct everything that's said and done, Lord. We thank you for it in Jesus' name. Amen. This does away again with all the thoughts of Christ having this portrayed as having this long hair and these blue eyes. I don't know where they get that from. He was a Jew. He was born to Jewish parents. And so those portrayals, we don't know. But I can tell you this. The Bible says that it is a shame for man to have long hair. So he didn't have long hair. He didn't have long hair. He was not effeminate. He was not girly. He was a son of man. He's a son of God. And he spoke with power. He spoke with authority. Not like the scribes. Not like the Pharisees. He wasn't very popular. Because he spoke his word, which is what? His word is truth. That word is truth. The Lord came into the temple. And we see, first of all, Christ casting out. Bible says in verse 12, and Jesus went into the temple of God and cast out all them that sold and bought in the temple and overthrew the tables of the money changers and the seats of them that sold doves. Let me give you a disclaimer to the animal lovers that are concerned about the doves that might have gotten hurt. He overturned the tables of the money changers and the seats of those that sold doves. The cages were fine. No animals were hurt. No animals were hurt in these actions, okay? So you can rest at ease. Don't take the rest of the time thinking about what happened to the doves. Poor little doves, what happened to the doves? They were fine. By the way, they were sacrificed later. The Lord came and the Bible says that he cast out them that sold and bought in the temple. You see, this was a practice. In the law, if you look in the book of Leviticus, you look in the Old Testament, the people that came to the temple, if they came from a long way and they traveled a long distance, it would make no sense for them to bring the animal along and maybe cause it to get hurt or something to happen along the way. So the Lord allowed them to take money and buy, when they got to Jerusalem, and buy the sacrifice or pay for the sacrifice. That was allowed. But the priest knew that. And I said, the priest knew that. The people that were in charge. They were the ones that were called what? Thieves. Along with the ones that sold. Because, first of all, the money changers, they would not take Roman money. They needed the temple shekel. So they had money changers. Like when you go to another country, you go and exchange money. So you have the currency of that country. And they would go and exchange their Roman money for the temple shekel. Of course, with a little cost. And the cost just didn't include the exchangers part, but it also included the priest part. With the buying of the sacrifices, the doves could have been bought in the city for 4 pieces, 4 denarii or whatever it was. But you go to the temple and buy them, and there's a little bit of a markup. Because why? Because you have the seller's cost, and then you have the priest's costs. And they had a way to do this because, well, people could go to the market and buy the doves. But if it did not have the tag, the specific tag that said on it kosher, that did not identify it as having been bought at the temple, the priest would examine it and find a blemish and say, this is unacceptable. And so what would happen? Now they would have to buy one at the temple with a markup to pay for who? For the seller and the priest. And so they were making money from the people that were sincere in their service to God. These were people that wanted to serve God, that wanted to worship God, that wanted to bring their sacrifices to the temple as they were, as the law had commanded them to. But here were the individuals that were preventing them, or they were making money, making merchandise of them. And Jesus went into the temple of God and cast out all them that sold and bought in the temple and overthrew the tables of the money changers and the seats of them that sold doves. Both the seller and the buyer, he cast them out. He cast them all out. He says, why the buyer? Well, because if there's no buyer, guess what? There's no seller. If there's no seller, there's no buyer. We all lament of all. There was a time, and you remember it here in Texas. You remember. I remember. There was a time in Texas where there wasn't very much open on Sundays. There wasn't. Businesses weren't open. Restaurants weren't open. Why? And so, why are they open today? You know why? Because that's where people are at. I would venture to say that there's people that call themselves Christians today, right now, at a store or at a restaurant. Why are they open? Because people will go. If you build it, they will come. So they were all cast out. You think about the church. You know, if there's no one to listen, no one will gossip. Why do people gossip? Because people will listen. Why do people murmur and complain? Because people will listen. You know who's good at listening to complaints? The deacons. Because they want to keep the pastor in check. That's their job. That's the deacon's job. That's what they think. They're the ones that are, they're there for the people. Well, who's the pastor there for? Pastor's there for the people. But they think that they're there to keep the pastor in check. And so they listen to the complaints of the people. And it makes them feel good when they can go and say, preacher, we have some people in the church that are concerned. If there's people in the church that are concerned about the pastor, guess who you need to go to? Guess who you need to go to? Go to the pastor. Yeah, pray for him first and then go to the pastor. If there's concerns about the pastor, go to the pastor. My door is open to anybody that has a complaint. Anybody. You have a complaint? Door's open. I'll listen. I make mistakes. Sometimes I rub people the wrong way. And I never want to rub you the wrong way with my personality. If the Word of God bothers you, take it up with the Lord. I'm going to preach the Word of God. Amen? But he cast them out. He cast out the people and the buyers and the sellers. Here's the Lord coming and he's casting these out. He's not afraid. John tells us that at one point he took some cords and he drove them out. He didn't just cast them out, he drove them out. He drove these individuals out. We see Christ casting out, and secondly, we have Christ calling out. And he said unto them, it is written, my house shall be called the house of prayer, but ye have made it a den of thieves. Christ calls them out. He begins with, my house shall be called the house of prayer. We want to call the house of God the house of what? The house of worship. The emphasis today is on the worship. Every church wants to have a worship and praise group. They want to have a worship and praise group. And what that consists of is a band on stage. They want to have their bass guitar. They want to have their drums. They want to have their, by the way, they want to have people that don't even dress reverently. In fact, they want to dress very, very immodestly, like they are the show. We're the show. We don't need a show when we come to church. We don't need a show. We come here to worship the Lord. We want to come here to hear. We come to hear from God. But the majority of churches want to make worship their main emphasis. That is their main emphasis. That is the crux of what they do. And they want to take 35, 40 minutes of music. And we'll let the preacher get up, if that's what you want to call him, and give their little sermonette for 10 minutes, and then let's not hold it up. Let's get home. The emphasis on worship. Or will we want to put emphasis on the preacher? And yes, it's through the foolishness of preaching that the Lord has used the foolishness of preaching to reach the lost. You know, the people at Corinth, they said, I am of Paul. Others said, what? I'm of Apollos. They were concerned about what? The preacher. The preacher. People don't want to look at the Word of God. They don't want to sit and listen to the Word of God. They want to be entertained. Even when they're listening to the Word of God. Now I know the Word. There ought to be an interest and a desire again to hear. But we want to use our method. And I can't do it. I just can't. I was going to try, but I'm not. The preaching is important. We need the preaching of the Word of God. But we need the Word of God more than we need the preaching. In the book of Nehemiah, after the people had built the wall, they took a third of the day just simply reading the Word of God. What would people do today in the majority of our churches if they say, we're having a special service? We're having a special service this Sunday. And people, oh, a special service. For 3 hours, we're going to read the Word of God. How many people do you think would show up? How many people would show up? We're going to read the Bible for 3 hours. That's going to be the extent of our service. 3 hours, we're going to read the Word of God. That's 3 hours. That's not a third of the day. How many people do you think would show up? Do you think we'd be able to fill up a stadium? That's what a ball game lasts. They fill up stadiums. Make thousands of dollars. We wouldn't even charge admission. They wouldn't show up. But the Lord says, my house shall be called the house of prayer. The emphasis is on the worship, on the preacher, the preaching. Lord says, I want the emphasis to be put where? He is on prayer. on prayer. My house shall be called a house, the house of prayer. Mark says, to all nations. That's what Isaiah said. It'll be a house of prayer to all nations. The place where these individuals would come and sell their the doves and exchange the money was what was at the place where the outer court, where the Gentiles used to come and pray. And so, guess what? They couldn't pray. Why? Because people were saying, hey, you want a dove? I'll sell it to you for 50 cents. I'll sell it to you for a dollar over here. You can get a dove over here for, hey, I have a dove. Or how are you going to pray when all the selling's going on? You talk about reading, not having much attendance. Well, what about prayer? We're going to pray for 3 hours. Can we fill up a stadium? Can we fill up a gymnasium? What does our nation need today? Prayer. Our nation needs prayer. We're in trouble. We were talking this morning before the service. We're in a mess. Oh, no, 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 no. What do you mean? The economy is doing great. No, we're in a mess. We're in a mess. Sin is running rampant. Sin is rampant in our nation. And the priests are doing what? They're turning their eye. They don't want to see it. Oh, it's okay. More and more churches opening up the doors to sin. Lifestyles that go contrary to the Word of God. So you talk about the exercise of prayer, and it's like, no, no, no. But you see, I want you to turn to the book of 2 Chronicles. Familiar passage, 2 Chronicles 7. This is an answer to Solomon's prayer at the dedication of the temple. Solomon has sought the Lord in the dedication of the temple and has pleaded with the Lord to impart his forgiveness to Israel at the point, whenever Israel turns from the Lord and the Lord sends pestilence or sends the enemy, if Israel was to pray that the Lord would forgive them, that is what Solomon says, forgive them, Lord. And in verse 14 is a reply again of the Lord, and he says this, if my people which are called by my name shall humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then I will hear from heaven and will forgive their sin and will heal their land. You know why prayer is so hard? Because we don't want to humble ourselves. We don't want to get to the point where we say, you know what, I am not as independent as I think I am. I need God more than I think I do. But we go about our day, we go about our lives thinking that we can do it on our own. When all we're doing is simply digging a hole. Our prayer is the exercise by which God works. When we pray, God answers. If my people, which are called by my name, shall humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked, then I will hear from heaven and heal their land. I know that's speaking to the people of Israel. I understand that. But I believe God still answers prayer. I believe God is still wants to work in our nation. You say, well, what's the problem then? What is it? My people not praying. Not praying. You can fill a stadium to listen to Joel Osteen. You can fill a stadium to listen to Jakes, T.D. Jakes. You can fill the stadiums to listen to these guys. Speak of platitudes. And people go out just the same as they came in. No more spiritual, no more closer to God. Because it's all man-made. There's no reliance on God. It's all on the ability of the man to convey what they want to say. But they have a following, don't they? I hate to say it, all that following, if they don't accept Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior, they're going to end up in a lake of fire. So, well, that's not very nice. It's a truth. Quit following man. But prayer, the Lord said, my house shall be called the house of prayer. Prayer is the exercise by which God works. We pray and God answers our prayer. When we are willing to humble ourselves, when we're willing to come, as the book of Hebrews chapter 4 says, when we're willing to come before his throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy to help in time of need. We need to humble ourselves. We need to pray. When Paul wrote to Timothy as he had left him at Ephesus to build a church there, to care for the church, what did he say? What did he say to him? What was the first thing that Paul said that they need to do? First of all, Paul says, I exhort in 1 Timothy 2 and verse 1, I exhort therefore that first of all, supplications, prayers, intercessions, and giving of thanks be made for all men. My house shall be called the house of prayer to all nations. We've been given a privilege to pray. It is a privilege that the believer needs to exercise. It is a privilege that we need to find ourselves in more and more as we see times get worse and worse. The world keeps going farther and farther and farther away. How is anything going to change? How are we going to win the loss? Well, we have to go to this program and learn this man's program, or go to this program and learn this other man's program, or this church has a program, and maybe we can go implement their program. You can use all the programs in the world. And if you don't have the power of God through prayer, programs won't matter. Programs won't matter. We need to be people of prayer. I want you to go back to the book of Matthew because he didn't conclude there. It says, it is written, my house shall be called the house of prayer, but ye have made it a den of thieves. They had made it a den of thieves. It should have been called the house of prayer. People should have been coming. People should have been invited. People should have been allowed to come and pray there at the temple, the house of God that was dedicated for prayer. Instead, people were making money. They were making money from selling the sacrifices or exchanging the money. And the Lord says, you have made it the den of thieves. It's a den of thieves. It wasn't just one thief. There was several. There was many thieves. They were all over the place. Instead of praying, they were praying. Right? Instead of praying to the Lord, they were praying on the people. P-R-E-Y-I-N-G. They were praying on them. It was a den of thieves. The house of God was a den of thieves. People just taking and stealing and caring more for themselves. You say, oh, it's a good thing that doesn't happen in America today. You know, there's identity theft. You've heard of identity theft, how people take Social Security numbers and take the different things and your name and they can open up accounts and things like that. You know, there's identity theft in the church. There's identity theft in the church. There really is. I want you to turn to the book of Acts. We're going to begin reading in verse 22 for the sake of time. Verse 22, then the tidings, 11:26, the book of Acts. Then the tidings of these things came into the ears of the church which was in Jerusalem, and they sent forth Barnabas that he should go as far as Antioch, who when he came and had seen the grace of God was glad and exhorted them all, that with purpose of heart they would cleave unto the Lord. For he was a good man and full of the Holy Ghost and of faith, and much people was added unto the Lord. Then Barnabas departed to Tarsus and to seek Saul. And when he had found him, he brought him unto Antioch. And it came to pass that a whole year they assembled themselves with the church and taught much people. And the disciples were called Christians first in Antioch. The disciples were first called Christians at Antioch. Who were the disciples? Paul, who got saved on the way to Damascus, did he not? He was a believer. So he has a right to be called what? A Christian. You know that there's a lot of identity theft in the church today? People are identifying as Christians who are not Christians. Simply because they're a church member, simply because they're in the house of God, they say, I am a Christian. Being a Baptist, being a Catholic, being a Methodist, being a Presbyterian does not make you a Christian. Repenting of your sins and trusting in the Lord Jesus Christ is what makes you a Christian. But there are people today all around the world They're in our city. They're in our churches that are calling themselves Christians. But they're not. You know what that is? That's identity theft. That's identity theft. You're identifying with Christ, but you have no part in Him. You have no part in Him. It's not hate speech. It's a truth. Simply because they prayed a prayer. Simply because they're in a church, or they're a church member, or grandpa was a pastor, grandpa was a deacon. It doesn't matter how long of a line of deacons you have in your family. It doesn't matter how long of a line you have of pastors in your family. If you have not personally accepted the Lord Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, then guess what? You're going to crack hell wide open. It's not about a prayer. It's about a personal relationship. It's about a personal relationship. There ought to be a change in the life of the individual that says, I trusted Jesus Christ as my personal Savior. There ought to be a change in that life. Identity theft. We look in the book of Malachi, and people hate to hear this. But you talk about the tithe. There's so many people stay away from the church because we talk about the tithe. And they want to dispute. And they want to argue. Well, you say we're in the law, we're in the time of grace. Okay, you want to say you're in the time of grace? That's fine. We are. So ask the Lord how much He wants you to give. Why don't you pray and ask the Lord to give you to tell you how much He wants you to give? And I will assure you that it'll be the tithe plus. By the way, the tithe is already the Lord's. The tithe is the Lord's. It's already His. You find that in the book of Leviticus. We're not going to turn to all these passages because there's a lot of passages that I have this morning. But in the book of Leviticus 27 and verse 30, the Bible tells us again that the tithe is His, the Lord's. It's His already. You may as well give it to Him. You may as well relinquish it. I want you to look in the book of Malachi. I mentioned that already. Just the book right before, Matthew. And we're going to read a few verses here. Verse 6, Malachi 1, verse 6. A son honors his father and a servant his master. If I then be a father, where is mine honor? And if I be a master, where is my honor? Saith the Lord of hosts unto you. O priests that despise my name, and ye say, wherein have we despised thy name? Ye offer polluted bread upon my altar, and ye say, wherein have ye polluted thee? And that ye say, the table of the Lord is contemptible. And if ye offer the blind for sacrifice, is it not evil? And if ye offer the lame and sick, is it not evil? Offer it now unto thy governor. Will he be pleased with thee, or accept thy person? Saith the Lord of hosts. Say, that's Old Testament. Well, let's make some application here. Do we honor the Lord the way we ought to? Do we rob Him of honor? You hear and you see individuals, and they usually like to speak about what? Their accomplishments. Not what the Lord has done. Look what I've done. What are you robbing the Lord of? Honor. Honor. But he goes on here in Malachi, and he speaks of, if you offer the blind for sacrifice, is that evil? Now, we don't have the sacrifices that they did in the Old Testament economy. We don't have those. We don't do that. But the blind and the lame, they had infirmities. They weren't whole. They weren't given what? They weren't given their best. They weren't given their all. What do we give to the Lord? Do we give the Lord our best? Do we give the Lord our all? We're kind of like the people of Israel, huh? And we bring the blind and the lame. We're kind of lame in the way that we serve God. You know, the best time of the day for us is when? It's in the morning. I had a pastor tell me, and I believe it's true. He said, you'll be more productive before noon than you will be in the afternoon. Get as much done as you can in the morning, because in the afternoon, you won't be as productive. But when do we take time to read? When do we take time to pray? Well, I'm going to do it at night before I go to bed. And so what do? You fall asleep before you're done reading. You fall asleep while you're praying. And what is it? What are you giving the Lord? Are you giving him your best, or are you giving him second best? You're giving him what's left. We do that with our lives. We do that with our lives. What did that young man say that came to the Lord? Lord, let me first go and bury my father, then I will come and follow you. Let me go take care of my business. Let me go do my things, and then I'll come and follow you after I've gotten things that I've set as priority first, and then I'll take care of, then I'll follow you, Lord. We do that with our lives. I want to make my money while I'm young, and then when I'm older, then I'll serve the Lord. Who says you're going to get older? Who says you're going to get older? Who says you're going to be in good health when you're older? Why don't you give God the best? Your best years, your young years. Oh, no, I got to make money then. No. Oh, just give the Lord your life. I'm going to give you the best years of my life, Lord. You do with them. And you know what the Lord will say? You go ahead and go make money. We have it all mixed up. We think, well, I'm going to do what I think I ought to do, and then I'll give whatever I have left to the Lord. Give your life to the Lord. And he may say, you know what, I don't want you to go to the mission field. I don't want you to be a pastor. I want you to be a faithful servant in a local Bible preaching Baptist church. I want you to serve faithfully there while you make money. You can still serve me there. Why don't you just give your life to me now? We always have this misconception that the Lord's going to send us to this far country. We have this misconception that God's just going to take us and he's just going to put us in an area far, far away. You don't know that. We need to be willing to give him what? Give him our best. Moses wrote in Psalm 90 in verse 12, teach us to number our days that we may apply our hearts unto wisdom. Number your days. We rob God of time, our effort, of talent, of our abilities. We want to give our abilities to the world and what we know, what we can do to the world, and we'll give God what's left. And he says, you have made my house a den of thieves. Is it a den of thieves? I hope not. I desire for our church to be called a house of prayer. A place of prayer. People can come and pray. People can come and say, will you pray for this? And know that what? We're praying for them. Where people join our hearts in prayer. We see Christ casting out. We see Christ calling out. And then we see Christ curing. Go back to the book of Matthew, and we're done. Book of Matthew, chapter 21. And the blind and the lame came to him in the temple, and he healed them. Do you know what had to happen first? You know what had to happen? There had to be a clearing out. There had to be a cleaning out. Sin needs to be wiped out. Sin needs to be put out of the way, confessed, forsaken, before what? Before God works. He's not going to work in a place that is polluted. He's not going to work with pollution. He had to clear it out. Then he could do what? Then he could heal. Then he could minister to the needs again of those that were there. What keeps the Lord from ministering to the needs of individuals today? What is it? Very simple, right here in the passage, I believe. What is it? We've corrupted the service of God, the house of God, where God should be working and moving, but because it's full of thieves, and God doesn't work. I want God to work. Want God to work? Who wants God to work? We all want God to work. How's he going to do it? Let's allow him to cast those things out that need to be out of our lives. Lord, here it is. You take it. You take my life. You cast whatever needs to be taken out. I give myself to you, Lord. Cause me to be. Lord, teach me to pray. I want to be the prayer of every believer. Lord, teach us to pray. Lord, teach us to pray. Make us people of prayer. Be willing to recognize where it is. Where is it that I'm robbing God? Where is it that I'm robbing him? Am I giving him my best, or am I giving him the rest? A house or a den? A house or a den is the question this morning. Father, thank you.